Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live from Studio 1A in Brooklyn, New York, this is Empire State Reptiles Live, specializing in connecting breeders and fans worldwide. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Well, a very good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Empire State Reptiles Live. My name is Chris, and I'm your host for tonight's show. I know it's been about maybe 3 months since we've had a show, and some of you may know the news that I announced about maybe 2 months ago. No, actually, it's been a month, January. I announced that tonight's show will be our last show for me. Of course, like I said before, nothing lasts forever. And we said that when I first started, I said that this show will, of course, be limited. It started off as a mission to be able to connect breeders and fans under one family-friendly platform. Being able to start at a time like 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast, it's very strategic, and we did that for a reason. Now, Saturday nights, of course, people love to go out, party, and 6:30, it's kind of like, oh, at least for me, the time where you're getting ready, you're chill and everything like that, and maybe you would like something to listen to while you're getting ready or to go out for the evening or something like that. We chose this time so it would not conflict with any of your prime time scheduling, such as a show that airs 8 p.m., as well as it wouldn't conflict with your work or anything, as well as it wouldn't conflict with school for our younger listeners. So we started this whole journey on September 17th of 2014, so that puts us at 3 years and a couple months since we started this show, and it has been nothing but amazing. This show has taught me so much about life as a whole and creating your own platform or whatever you want to call it. You can tell I'm going off script as usual. But this show has taught me so much about perseverance and being creative and thinking outside the box when it comes down to a cutthroat business. And I use that word business very strategically when I'm talking about this show, because this show was not a business in any type of way. I mean, in certain sense, yes, it was. Of course, we did have our times where we would get advertisements, and of course, that was funding coming into the show. But ironically, it went right back into the show to keep our premium account on Blog Talk Radio up and running and things like that. So I use that word very sparsely when I'm talking about the show. This show was more than a business. It was more than a hobby. It was the last 2 years. Every single Saturday, this was what I was doing at home, broadcasting live to you, talking to some amazing people. And as I go into talking about some amazing people, I want to highlight some amazing people that have helped me throughout my journey of getting here. Little does he know, I'm not even sure if he remembers, Morgan Beebe was my first special guest on the show. Thor Geckos, or some of you might know him as the owner of Late Night Leo, was my first ever special guest on the show. I started off the show just me talking about reptiles, but I quickly realized that that would have to change, that we needed some other content in the show to spice it up a little bit and just to add some flavor to the show. And he was my first special guest. I think the next person after that was Mo from Mojo Pythons, that sadly aren't in the industry anymore. But it's just a heap ton of people that I can thank. Nikki Castaldo with Def Leppard's, even down to Brian Barczyk with BHB Reptiles. He was on the show around 2015, I believe. I don't think that show is still public. I'm pretty sure I have that in my archive somewhere. But Jay Brewer, that was on the show last year, or it might have been 2016, I don't know. I don't know, Cats Frogs, which was our highest grossing show ever, listener-wise. And through this show, I was able to accomplish my goal of creating a platform that will connect people, breeders and fans, and things like that. We have listeners from all across the globe. And I'm not really sure how Blog Talk Radio breaks down our demographics, but I'm just going to list off some things that when I log into my dashboard, that's what I see. I see a map lit up with just all these countries around the world that are participating in this show and listening, and I thank you guys so much. And I've been very keen on not listing our numbers, but this show has grossed over 25,000 listeners at its highest peak, which was Cats Frogs. And all-time listeners is at 1 million. It might not seem like that. I'm shocked looking at it myself. It seems surreal to me that I can just click a button and be live to everybody around the globe. If they have internet access, I can be in your homes just like that. This show has, words can't explain the way that this show has taught me so much about not only dealing with people. I met some interesting people. I met some people that I would never like to meet again, and I met some people that I just can't stop thinking about. Lord knows that there's so many different people around the world and around the country as a whole. 66.66% of our listeners is from the United States. Of course, Canada is second with 13.33%. Sweden comes up at 6.66%. Hong Kong also taps that little bell at 2.85%. And surprisingly, Israel is at 2.70%. So, I'm done rambling. I'm ready to get on to the show. Tonight's guest is Mr. Ian Bessel with SNJ Reptiles, specializing in green tree pythons, I believe. He's going to come and chat with us. He was just on Morelia Python Radio last week, so he's a busy guy. He's making his rounds through the reptile radio shows and everything like that. So we're going to welcome him on the show. It's going to be a little bit of a short show today, just for conflicts with a terrible job or whatever. Let's welcome him on the show. If it wants to take him off mute for me. All right, well, I'm waiting for his hold to come off mute. Come on now. Ian, can you hear me? Ian, can you hear me? Can't hear you. All right, we're going to try that again. But like I was saying, guys, I know I understand. I'm, of course, unprepared and unscripted, as usual. But apparently we have a $100, I think, a giveaway that we planned out that we're going to be executing towards the end of the show tonight. It's for a voucher for SNJ Reptile, so you can go in there and pay towards your next green tree python that Ian so graciously donated to the show and all that good stuff. I'm very, very thankful that he has done that. But seems like we're having some difficulties at Blog Talk Radio. Let's connect them back to us real quick. Website has been glitchy as usual. Glitchy all day today and worst moment. But as we close out the show tonight, like I said, I just wanted to thank you all for 4 years of support that you guys have stuck with me and listened to me, and even with our downs, I know that I have not kept a very steady schedule, and I do somewhat apologize for that. But of course, like I said, it was coming with the ending of the show. Not something that I necessarily wanted to do, but of course, there are a heap ton of reptile radio shows out there. And when I started this industry, this business, this show, there were maybe about 10. No, I'm exaggerating. Maybe about 5 very core shows out there. And, of course, they were my competitors when I first started. But in the ring, so whatever you want to say, that number definitely got smaller, smaller, and smaller. And now we're down to, I can say, about 4 Reptile Radio shows. But I seem like I have gotten my act together, and we're going to welcome Ian onto the show. Ian, can you hear me?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Hi. So I'm so sorry about that. Block Talk Radio is acting a fool tonight.
That's all right. Not a problem.
All right. So we all know that you breed Green Tree Pythons, which is totally cool. I geek out over these guys, even though they're always the pets that I always wanted, but I never really plunged into it. But keeping Green Tree Pythons, they're very different than keeping and breeding a regular, let's say, ball python or even a carpet python. They're arboreal, one of the very few pythons that, well, not, I shouldn't say very few, but one of the few pythons that are arboreal. So how are you able to maintain a steady supply of the green tree pythons as well as taking care of all those needs, particularly its arboreal needs?
You know, I mean, I think that one of the nice things about green tree pythons is the fact that their metabolism is actually pretty slow compared to some of the other pythons. So compared to some of their close Morelia cousins, some of the carpet pythons and whatnot, because they have a more sedentary lifestyle because of their biology and being arboreal, they actually tend to be pretty easy to take care of. I think there's a little bit of a misconception out there that they're hard to take care of. I actually find them to be relatively easy. When you have to clean their cage, typically they're on a perch, so you just kind of move the perch and clean the cage and then put it back. You don't even have to worry about, you know, wrangling them out and really disturbing them a lot of times. So, and then that slower metabolism means that they're not feeding as often. They don't have the bowel movement as often. And so in some regards, it actually makes it relatively easy. As far as, you know, providing for their arboreal needs in captivity, it's not that different than, again, a lot of their close Morelia cousins and any other arboreal species. And today with all the different tubs and cages and whatnot available, it's relatively easy, actually. And I'll give a big shout out to David Brahms at S3D. He does some awesome arboreal products that are all 3D or 3D printed, and just some really cool stuff, perch holders and water bowl holders and things like that. And having access to all of that kind of stuff, just it makes it pretty easy. The caging that's available nowadays that accommodates specifically for arboreals, and I wouldn't say it's really a challenge as far as, you know, being able to set up the right habitat or the right environment for them.
Okay, of course, of course. So when getting into green tree pythons, there are so many types out there. I was scrolling through your Facebook page and I see all these different colors. I saw green and yellow. I don't really know much about these guys. So let's break down really what types there are. We all know, of course, about the emerald green tree python, and what other types are really popular and some types that need more attention.
Well, you know, one of the things that makes working with green tree python so addicting and fascinating is the fact that there's just so many different phenotypes, and they're called green tree pythons, but they really can express a variety of colors, greens, blues, yellows, blacks, reds, whites. There's just such a wide variety of colors that you see them in. And the other thing is that they go through a dramatic ontogenic color change from juvenile to adult. And so part of the other thing that's fun about them is when you buy unchanged neonates, you don't know what they're going to look like. And you may have some idea based on either the historical outcome of a particular pairing or because of where the lineage of where they're from geographically. but a lot of times you just don't know. And so one of the things that's really cool is not knowing and being able to watch them change. As far as breaking it down, it's pretty complicated. When you start looking at just the wild type animals, you know, a few years back, the taxonomy was reviewed, and they've actually split green tree pythons into two species. You've got a northern and a southern species. And then you've got a variety, what they call locality types. And the locality types obviously are questionable just by nature, because unless you're standing at the tree with a GPS when it's plucked from the wild, you don't really know exactly. So, you know, you're making educated guesses and you're talking about phenotypes. But in general, when you talk about green tree pythons, as far as in the captive market or in the captive environment here in the U.S., you really have kind of two big buckets, I guess. You've got locality types and designer types. And essentially, locality types are trying to breed for what are typically known as, you know, generally speaking, the phenotype from a given region, although there's some debate among, you know, the community as far as that. And then there's school, the designer types, where you're looking for particular phenotypes. So it could be high yellow, it could be blue, it could be high white, it could be for strong dorsal striping, it could be melanistic for a lot of black. So those animals are typically bred more for the phenotypic expression as opposed to where the original wild-caught lineage traces back to. On the locality side, you know, some of the locality types that you typically see out there, the Aru type, the Jayapura type, the Sarong type, Wamina, Tamika, Lara, Biak. So there's a whole variety, but those are typically cities or islands or locations over in Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, or some of the islands in that area of the world where the animals are found. But sometimes it's just a city that they pass through and not necessarily where that particular animal or the lineage of that animal is from. So there can be a lot of debate in general, but mostly in the green tree world, it breaks down to locality types or locality type crosses, but locality types are designers.
Okay. Yeah, so you really jumped into kind of another question that I had for you tonight was, you talked a little bit about designers, and anything associated with the word designer is going to come at a designer price, very high price. So so that might make it very difficult for somebody just getting into reptiles to purchase. So do you believe that the green tree python is for beginners or no?
You know, I don't think that I would say a green tree python is necessarily the right snake if you're a first-time snake owner, never owned a snake, and don't have any experience for dealing with keeping a snake in captivity. May not be the best choice for the first-time owner, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it can't be, you know, or that 100% never. I think if it's the right animal with the right support system as far as you know, people in the community to help. You know, a lot of times people focus in a lot on where you buy the animal and the animal itself and the quality of the animal or the personality of the animal, or is that animal a good animal for a beginner? And I'm not talking about just green trees, but reptiles in general. And a lot of times it comes down to, you know, are you buying it directly from the breeder who's going to be able to give you that support? Do you live near somebody who's in the community or in the hobby that can come lend a hand when you need an extra set of hands that knows what they're doing? You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times I think it comes down to more about who you buy the animal from than necessarily the animal itself. And before the days of the internet and Facebook and whatnot, when you only got to see these animals at a show or when someone sent you pictures via snail mail, there was a lot more mentoring involved when a breeder sold an animal to somebody. And you know, that's where a lot of that value comes, buying it directly from someone that produces it, is the fact that they can guide you through it. And I think I've had some first-time snake owners buy chondros from me, and they've been able to do just fine, but they've needed coaching through it. I've also had some very experienced people buy some chondros from me and really struggle with them because they weren't necessarily willing to, you know, listen to advice. So to each, it takes all types, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, that's definitely true. I mean, I can understand where you're coming from, where you're talking about more experienced people not being able to accept advice. And I think that just goes beyond the reptile industry or reptile community, whatever you want to say. That's just life. I mean, I know I'm a culprit at it. you know what I deal with. You personally know my job, and hey, I'm a culprit at it too. I mean, when you think you know everything, and then somebody comes and tells you, hey, you're not doing this right, you get a little defensive. So, I mean, I think that's something everybody can work on a personal level in life.
Yeah, and, you know, the chondro community as a whole has a little bit of a bad reputation for being, you know, snake snobs. And I see on social media sometimes the good intentions can go awry when a new person tries to ask a question, or, you know, somebody's bought a snake from Petco with no support and no research behind it. And people can get a little bit confrontational, let's just say, on social media. So, you know, I think it's just one of those things where you have to be open to hearing other people's advice. And if you're not open to it, sometimes you just got to listen to it. And then, you know, then you do what you please, I guess.
Of course, of course. That's very true. So going into more of the husbandry behind the chondros and stuff like that, what do you think is the perfect setup? I think a lot of people, from what I know, I do have friends with Greentree pythons and things like that. They say that the biggest misconception is the cage has to be tall or very lengthwise, or height-wise, very large. So what is the perfect setup in your eyes for a chondro?
Well, you know, I think that that's a little bit of a trick question there, Chris. I don't think that there's a perfect setup. The perfect setup is Papua New Guinea and, you know, the side of a mountain in a rainforest.
Yeah.
But I think it really comes down to, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. So there's a lot of ways to set up an enclosure or a habitat, you know, to meet the needs of a green tree python. And so I don't think that there's any one particular perfect setup, but I do think that whatever setup you use, you have to keep in mind the needs of the animal in terms of primarily heat and humidity. And you mentioned the sort of the dimensions or the orientation of the cage. And yeah, I think initially there was a big belief that they needed all of this vertical space, but what happens when you create a really narrow vertical enclosure is that you don't give the animal a ton of choices with regards to heat gradient and where they can feel comfortable. And one of the things about green tree pythons is that they will often sit in a spot where they feel more secure, even if it's not the right temperature for them. And so if you're encouraging the animal to sit, they're always going to sit in the highest spot because that's where they feel most comfortable. But in some cases, that may not be the right spot for them. And so you want to have a temperature gradient both vertically and horizontally. And I mean, I've even seen some people keep chondros, especially small ones, successfully in like sweater box racks where there's almost a complete horizontal orientation. A lot of people will use caging that, you know, is 2 foot by 2 foot by either 3 or 4 feet in length. And so a lot of times the animals will use those dimensions in that surface area. And so, you know, it's not necessarily where the animal needs, you know, everything to be in that vertical orientation. And so as far as the perfect setup, I think there's a lot of different types of enclosures. You know, some people like tubs, some people like more display type caging, some people like more like a natural vivarium kind of enclosure. Obviously, if you've got a number of these animals, you need something that's efficient and easy. And so I do use a lot of tubs and racks. And they do just fine in those, especially the younger ones. But I use a lot of PVC caging from Boafile and from PVCcages.com. But there's also a number of other types of caging. I've seen them done successfully in Visions and in animal plastics caging. But also just in regular Rubbermaid tubs, if you're heating a whole room with ambient, that's another way that you can do it. So it's really a matter of, can you create the right temperature gradient? Can you capture the right humidity? Can you give the animals an area where they're going to feel secure as well as have enough space to move around? And at night, especially when they're young or when they're males, they will cruise around the cage at night. So everyone, you know, you see them as a snake on a stick because that's the way they are during the day. But at night, the little ones and especially the males as they get older, they tend to move around quite a bit at night.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. me. I just learned a lot. So, Ian, would you mind telling us, our listeners tonight, about the giveaway that you had thought up for the final show tonight?
Yeah, well, when you told me that this was going to be kind of your grand finale, or at least your going away party for now, maybe not forever, I thought it might be nice
now
to do something a little bit special, a little special for you and for the listeners. And so we've got a $100 voucher for tonight to go to a listener at some point. And that's good towards the purchase of any Green Tree Python that we currently have available. There's no expiration date on it. So if you decide you want to hold on to it, you can hold on to it for a later purchase. If maybe there's a clutch in the future that you've got your eye on, or maybe we don't have exactly the phenotype or the genetic type animal that you're looking for, you can hold that voucher and use it later on. I just ask if you do win it tonight, make sure you contact me and just let me know so I've got your information. It is non-transferable, and you can't combine it with anything else. So that's pretty much the deal.
All right. If you're interested, if anybody's interested in the voucher tonight, I see some of you guys were listening in on the console right here. So if any of you guys are interested in getting this voucher, be the first to call in at 713-955-0793. You have now until the end of the show to give us a ring. Once again, that is 713-955-0793. Now, the Southeast Carpet Fest is an annual event to promote a sense of community within the southeastern part of the United States. I don't know why I couldn't have been in the north, but hey. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me hold on. We have a caller, 314. Let's go to you. Yeah, oh, good evening, 314. What's your name and where you're giving us a ring from?
Hey, I'm Crystal, and I'm calling from St. Louis.
It's Crystal from St. Louis. Crystal, have you ever called into the show before? You sound very familiar.
Yes, I've called in.
I'm
with
Tailspin
Geckos.
Does your last name start with an R?
Or yep.
Hey, I remember you. You won something before from us. What was that? I think you did.
Some soldier flies larvae.
Oh, okay. How did those go?
Oh, yeah. They love those. Everything went great.
Okay, great. Great, great. Hey, thank you for calling in tonight. Ian, you can conduct your business or whatever you need to say. I don't know.
Yeah, congratulations, Crystal. If you would just send us a message, you can find us on Facebook and just shoot us a message after the show and we'll get you all set up.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ian.
All right. Thank you so much, Crystal, for listening to us. I know we've been gone for a couple months, but thank you for giving us a tune in tonight. Are you a text message reminder subscriber or whatever?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
That works
so that's
great.
How you found the episode tonight. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in with us tonight.
Oh, no problem. Good show.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Good night. All right, like I was saying, the Southeast Carpet Fest is coming up February 10th at 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's 8 hours of fun at Palomumbo's Pythons and Boas in Cape Coral, Florida, zip code 33909. You can find them on Facebook, Palomumbo's Pythons and Boas. Ian, what is this carpet fest about? Sounds very fun. You guys should have brought it to New York. I would have been right there.
Well, first of all, so you butchered his name a little bit. It's Dave Palumbo, and he's actually from New York.
So sorry,
he just
Dave.
Recently moved down. Yeah, he just recently moved down to Florida.
Okay.
So he's a New York transplant. The event is February 10th at Dave Palumbo's place in Cape Coral. So this is a interesting opportunity for people to actually get out from behind the keyboard and come out and meet people face to face and talk to some of the folks in the reptile community. It's a social event. It's not a conference. It's not a trade show. There's not going to be animals there for sale. We will get the chance to check out Dave's collection of boas and pythons, but this is really more of a social get together, really a chance to, if you've been wanting to get into the conjures or get into carpet pythons or get into reptiles, a chance to meet some of the breeders and a chance to interact with each other in a real life virtual way, as opposed to just over the phone or on the computer. And this is really the brainchild of some of your podcast, Blog Talk Radio cousins over at NPR. So Eric Burke and Owen McIntyre started doing the Carpet Fest up in the Northeast, and it spawned a number of events around the country. So there's a Northeast Carpet Fest, a Southern, a Northwest, a Southwest, and now a Southeast. So it's going to be a good time. We ask, if you're planning on coming, that you go to the event page on Facebook, Southeast Carpet Fest 2018, and just RSVP, so we know how much food that we need. And the cost of admission is that you have to bring something. So whether that's ice or dessert or an appetizer or lawn games or drinks or whatnot, everyone who's coming has to bring something. So I just ask, if you are planning on going, that you go to the event page on Facebook and the RSVP. And the other thing that we do is we have an auction that benefits US ARC. And we decided to do it as an online silent auction. So the auction is currently live. It's posted on the Southeast Carpet Fest group on Facebook. And we have some amazing items. And it will run from now until 6 p.m. at the event. And so if you're at the event and you win, you can get your item there. Otherwise, we can ship it to you. And it all goes to benefit US ARC. So it's a great way to give back. And if you're interested, Chris, I can run through some of the things we have. We've got some really awesome items up on the auction.
Of course. Go for it.
All right. So we'll give listeners here a little bit of a preview. So it started yesterday, and there's already a lot of bidding going on, and we added another round of items today, and we'll continue to add items, so make sure you check back. But just to kind of run through the list, we've got a $200 credit for Paris Reptiles. We have a $200 voucher for E.B. Morelia. We have a $200 voucher for S&J Reptiles. We have a $500 voucher for Phoenix Reptiles. That's Bill Siegel down in Texas. We have a $200 gift certificate for Ship Your Reptiles. We have a $200 gift certificate for Redding Reptiles. We have a $25 gift certificate for Mice Direct. We have a male Brettles Python from Trace Harden. We have two signed copies of the new Green Tree Python book by Justin Julander and Terry Phillips. We have a male Xanthic Jag Coastal Carpet Python from Nick Mutton at Inland Reptiles. We have a couple of Green Tree Python t-shirts. We've got a $50 gift certificate to Specialty Enclosure Designs, which is Dave Brom's, all the 3D printed stuff for arboreals. We've got a hat and shirt from Reptilinx. We've got a couple tickets to Zoo Miami. We've got a one-year standard membership to Morph Market, which is worth $300. We have a $200 voucher from Rogue Reptiles. We have a $300 voucher from Triple B. That's Brian Cusco. We've got a $500 voucher from Midwest Serpentarium from Ralph Polinski. We've got a $100 shipping voucher with Reptiles Express. We've got some original artwork and some original photography work on canvas. We've also got a number of books, including Snakes of Borneo, Maintenance of Rattlesnakes in Captivity, Venomous Snakes of Africa, and Snakes of Sulawesi. Those are all donated by Triple L Reptiles. We've also got a couple of probe sets, got a whole kind of gear kit of goodies from US ARC, including some hats and shirts and bags. We've got a crocodile portrait, which was done by a Siamese crocodile, and two admission tickets to the St. Augustine Alligator Farm. We've got a t-shirt from Ari Flagel at projectblackpython.org. We have a pair of 2017 Brisbane Coastal Carpet Pythons from Michael Pinnell. We have an alligator portrait from Emily Maple at Emily's Geckos. We have a 2017 male New Guinea carpet python donated by Derek Roddy. We've got two copies of the Greg Maxwell, The More Complete Chondro book. Those were donated by Pia and Cody Bartoloni at Terrestrial and Arboreal. We've got a $250 voucher for SBK Reptiles donated by Stephen Kass. We've got a t-shirt from Matt Minatola at Philly Herp. Got a $200 voucher from Austin Warwick at Ragebeard Reptiles. Got some Triple L Reptile t-shirts. Got an 18-tub hatchling rack from Sea Serpents. That's shipped. And we've got a $200 voucher from Dave Palumbo Pythons and Boas. And I think that's about all we've got posted so far. So that's quite a list, and we've got more stuff coming. So get out there and bid.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Ian, for coming on tonight. I do apologize for the shortness of the show today, but I think we covered some amazing topics as well as the Southeast Carpet Fest. Guys, don't forget it. It's Saturday, February 10th at, please say the name of the place. I know I'm going to butcher it again.
At Dave Palumbo's place in Cape Coral, Florida.
Palumbo's place at Cape... forget it. I messed it up already. All right, guys, don't forget to go out and support them. It is a great opportunity to meet some people that you have communicated with online. And thank you guys for setting that up. That is an amazing thing to do, and I wish you guys the best on February 10th.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to the listeners about it.
All right. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
All right, take care, Chris.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the night. I thank you guys once again for all of the years of support that you guys have provided me, as well as all of the years of laughter, of learning that I've gotten through this whole experience. I thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. I can't even list all the people that I have to thank tonight, but just know that if you've ever contacted me, either had a conversation with me, either especially appeared on my show, or even listened to the show, or even called in, I thank you guys so much. Another person I want to thank is John Norris for providing me with that awesome jellyfish tank that I'm hoping to get started once again. Those little guys are amazing. Thank you guys once again so much, and especially thank you to Ian for helping us close out this amazing, amazing show. From the bottom of my heart, guys, I love you all. And finally, I would like to say good night. And I hope to see you guys again soon. And love you all once again.